Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Only have about 25 minutes left in the program tonight. We get done early, as well as Maria just mentioned. We'll begin out of here for the vice presidential debate. Have a couple more folks that we want to talk to before we call today. And one of those guys is our very good friend. You see him on Channel 5. He is Corey Miller at Corey underscore Miller 5 on Twitter. Corey, always appreciate you being with us. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, Matt.
What's your general takeaway from what you heard yesterday at the Cardinals press conference?
My general takeaway is that I don't think they really pleased anybody who listened to it, just kind of taking the temperature of the fan base. It seems like we got some important things that are going to set up some other things, but didn't get a whole lot of how we got to this point, and we'll see what comes next. So certainly a consequential day, but there's a lot more to come, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of what they talked about yesterday was under the hood stuff. And I am a believer that if they do implement the things with Heim Bloom doing player development, that this team is going to be much better in the long term. But I have heard from callers nonstop yesterday and today, it seems like fans want more of the cosmetic, over the hood sort of stuff. And they also want accountability, and they want people admitting mistakes and all these things. And that wasn't what yesterday was.
Definitely not. I think most people, you know, it's all well and good. Everything yesterday, okay, it seems like there was a deficiency, if you want to call it that, at certain levels and infrastructure and that kind of things. Okay, they're going to fix that. But this is a city that now hasn't seen playoff baseball for 2 years, and it seemed like they didn't want to quite say, hey, it's going to be even longer than that because we're going to roll back payroll and focus on some other things, even though that does seem like the reality. They just didn't want to say it quite yet. So it's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of folks who were already upset. And I think yesterday did not make anybody less upset.
Yeah, I think if you're a baseball nerd, it did a little bit because of Bloom's Bloom's track record on really, even in Boston, you look at what their minor league system is now compared to when he got there, he improved it. But to your point, if you want to be excited about the 2025 Cardinals, yesterday did not do that for you.
Oh, yeah, I think the Bloom situation and the succession plan, although if there are a lot of folks, I'm sure, who would like it to happen sooner than next year, it's good to have a plan in place for sure. And Bloom said all the right things, and he obviously has the track record to show that he can build a development side and produce players who are going to come up and hopefully produce for your major league team. So I'm sure if folks take the big picture and look at that end of it, there is positives there. But and like I said, right now, we've seen 2 Octobers where mm-hmm. sitting on the sideline not watching playoff baseball, and I don't think yesterday gets you closer to that in the next year or so.
No, definitely not in the next year. Maybe they sneak in next year if things go well, but there's certainly not a guarantee of that. We don't know how much they're going to cut payroll. They could cut payroll by just taking spots that are filled by veterans, kind of mid-level spots, you know, the Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson types positions, Matt Carpenter, guys like that, that are making major league salary and replacing those with guys coming up from the minor leagues. Or they can trade away a Nolan Arenado or a Wilson Contreras or a Sonny Gray. That reduces salary, but that also probably results in you winning less games.
That's going to be very interesting. Yeah, which road they choose to go down, because credit to whoever asked this, I can't remember yesterday, and if it was in the scrums or the press conference, Sonny Gray and Nolan Arenado and Wilson Contreras, you kind of sold them on this idea of coming to St. Louis. We always compete. We're going for it. We want you to be a part of that. You're a big part of that. Now do you have a conversation with them? We're going the other direction, and it makes more sense for us to move on and send you somewhere else. Are you okay with that? I think there might be some awkward conversations coming up here in the next couple weeks and months as the Cardinals try to figure it out.
Well, specifically to Wilson Contreras, a lot was made of what he said right at the end of the season about how the front office needs to try to own the division and they need to do a lot to upgrade the roster. And clearly that's not going to happen. So now you have what Wilson Contreras said versus what the organization is going to do in the short term, and those things are very much opposite of each other.
Yeah, I wonder if what the response would have been if somebody asked particularly about the Wilson comments yesterday. It's just not a great situation. And watching the playoffs today and some of these teams and how they're built and kind of the sustained success some of them are set up for, it seems like there's a considerable gap. Not just, I mean, we talk about the Dodgers gap all the time, but to some of these other clubs that are like the Orioles, who have, they have this young team that the Cardinals also have, but their young team produced right away when they got here. And so they already have something established in the playoffs. So certainly going to be an off season of sitting by your phone and thinking there might always be a chance the Cardinals are going to do something here.
Mike Gersh has been reassigned to working with special projects. He had been the team's general manager. So far, he's the most high-profile person to be taken out of their job. We'll see what happens on the coaching staff. You would have to think that there's going to be some members of the coaching staff that are not going to return next season. Fans, there's I don't know if it's a vocal minority or majority of fans. There's a group of people out there that really want to see, whether it's culpability or just see people lose their jobs, whatever it might be, but the organization doesn't seem to be giving the fans that right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's the area of just the most, gosh, I can't even think of the right word for it, but just anger more than anything. And I actually asked John Moselock about that yesterday. He's really the public face of fans' angst. And this is an organization. It is not just his fault for where this is at right now, but he is the face of it. And fans have certainly taken it out on him online and hopefully not in person. Hopefully they're still nice in the grocery store when they run into him. He said he hopes he doesn't get beat up over the next 12 months, but now he knows he's got a set timeline and he's going to do everything he can to set it on the right course when he passes the torch. And he might be doing Heim Bloom a favor in a number of ways here in this next year, where it could get ugly and he keeps wearing it and then the new guy comes in with more of a clean slate. So that could be something they're looking at also.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's two things there. If they do end up tearing things down, then he gets to be the guy who is known for doing that. But my big thing on why I'm happy that Mo is sticking around is I feel like it's such a heavy lift that Heim's going to have in rebuilding player development that I'm glad he's going to have a year where he's implementing those things and can be more focused on that before he has to look at the entire baseball operation.
Oh, yeah, that would be tough to throw him into this to not only, you know, I know he's going to be more on the development side here in this year, but if you give him that job and, you know, the job of a GM / president of baseball ops all in the same offseason, that's a lot to handle. So I definitely see why the Cardinals decided to do what they do front office wise.
Corey Miller does a fantastic job, reporter, anchor, doing on Channel 5. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey_Miller5. Corey, always appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me on, Matt.
You bet. That's Corey Miller joining us. When we return, Francisco X. Rivera, who is going to be on the call for City SC tomorrow as they match up against LAFC, he's going to join us to preview that match. We'll do that in just a moment right here on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. City SC, there's not much time left in the season. Just three more matches to go. They've got a midweek match coming up tomorrow as they will take on LAFC. And we're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is going to be part of the Spanish language broadcast on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. He is Francisco X. Rivera. You follow him on Twitter at FX_Rivera. Francisco, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. How are you?
Hey, Matt. Well, first of all, I'm honored. St. Louis holds a very special place in my heart. The very first World Series that I called on Spanish TV, the one in 2006 when you guys won against the Tigers, and then I got to do another one in 2011. So, you know, I got to go to St. Louis for a game, for a soccer game earlier this season, and I actually caught a 1 p.m. game. It was the Cardinals and the Giants. I got invited into the booth with Paulo and with Benji, so you know, great times every time I'm there. So honored to be with you guys on KMOX.
So what do you enjoy more, coming into City Park or coming into Busch Stadium?
Well, Busch Stadium has held a big, big place in my heart, because then again, the first time I was there in St. Louis, that's when you guys opened the park, 06. So then again, I never got to go to the old Busch, if you will. So then again, I mean, City Park was impressive, though. The food was out of this world. So I wouldn't mind going back sometime soon.
So how tough is it for a team playing these midweek matches? We heard from John Hackworth yesterday saying that in a normal week, when you're going from weekend to weekend, you're able to get two really intense training sessions in during the week. You don't get that going into a midweek game. How challenging do you think it is for a team going into one of these midweek games?
Yeah, I think the second half has been brutal for most of the teams in MLS. But if you look at, you know, if you go back to the summer when they were playing League Cup as well, and, you know, St. Louis got all the way to the round of 18. You know, it's been tough since then for these teams. And obviously, you know, players, you know, need to adapt, need to adjust. Sometimes if you need to change your strategies or adapt some of the tactics, you don't get too much time to do that. So I think this team has found an identity, though. I don't believe that they're gonna change so much of what we've seen, especially in the second half since the Club America game and the game in Portland to start the second half of the season. So I think they're well connected. They know each one of the guys knows the role. The German guys, Teuhut, Horn, Hartl have connected really well. So I don't think at this point it will affect them much physically, of course. You know, LAFC is coming from the same type of rhythm, you know, having to play the Open Cup game just a few days ago. So, you know, I think in that aspect, they're pretty even.
St. Louis has found a way to get a couple wins here. They've scored 5 goals over their last 2 matches. What are you seeing from this team as seemingly they finally get into more of a scoring rhythm here at the end of the season?
Well, I remember talking to John at the beginning of the second half, because I got to do the game in Portland, that 4-4 game against the Timbers. And he was telling me how big that game against Club America was in terms of morale. I mean, just knowing that they were able to go toe-to-toe against one of the toughest teams, one of the biggest teams in the whole continent. And I think we saw it in Portland. I mean, and, you know, despite that last-minute wonderful goal from Evander, I mean, this team looked very well connected. I was very, very impressed by Teuhut, by Hartl, and the way St. Louis was able to counterattack, how fast they were, how connected they were. And they reminded me a lot of the St. Louis that I saw and we all saw last year. So, you know, I'm expecting a lot of that tomorrow, to be honest, because LAFC, you know, has the same DNA as they've had since 2018, a team that plays for 4-3-3 that are very open, that like to push on their opponent. And St. Louis is a good team that's very good at counterattacking. So I think we're going to see a lot of goals. I hope St. Louis can keep a fight tomorrow, can be toe-to-toe against one of the toughest teams in MLS. So, yeah, I'm expecting a very open and offensive game tomorrow.
We're talking with Francisco X. Rivera, who's going to be on the Spanish language call of City SC and LAFC tomorrow night in Los Angeles. And Francisco, this is an LAFC team that has just put together a fantastic season. When you look at them, what most impresses you? What is their identity that's led to them putting together the year they've put together?
Well, the thing, going back to 2018 when Bob Bradley put this team together, I've always seen a very offensive team from the very first game they played against Seattle back in March. And I do remember that I was part of the LAFC broadcast team for 5 years, and I pretty much remember every game as if it was yesterday. And then again, it was a very offensive team, a team that suffered a bit in the back at times, that was able to get a bit more balance since the arrival of Steve Cherundolo. And I think what's impressed me the most, to be honest, it's not on the field, it's off the field. It's the way John Thorrington has been able to change and trade chips and being able to move pieces together to put the type of team that he's put together with, you know, we all know the limitations sometimes that you get and the strategy involved when you have to put a roster together with the MLS salary cap and the designated player rules and everything. So the way they've been able to bring so many talented players, from Carlos Vela to Gareth Bale to Giorgio Chiellini, most recently Denis Bouanga, who I think has been arguably one of the biggest steals, if not the biggest steals in the last 5-10 years, because he came, you know, with a decent resume, but he's been just so explosive, arguably top 3 in terms of offensive players in MLS. And I think he's an MVP candidate. And now you look at how they brought Olivier Giroud, who, you know, a lot of people might say he hasn't looked all that connected yet, but he already scored. And he is one of the best players in France's history. And then now you have Carlos Vela coming back as well after a long layoff. So, you know, this team is putting together a very solid base heading into the playoffs. And I think that's the most important thing because they had a little bit of a funk the last few weeks. But, you know, being able to lift the U.S. Open Cup, being able to get that last win, able to clinch the playoffs, I think they're sort of getting to a rhythm. And I think the better they close the season, the better chances they have to be able to get back to the top.
He is Francisco X. Rivera. We, of course, encourage you to be subscribing to the MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Incredible, not just English broadcast, as mentioned. Francisco does the Spanish language broadcast, and they've got other languages as well. They're always updating content throughout the week. It's a spectacular package, and it's worth taking a look at as we're just a few weeks out from the MLS postseason. Francisco, thank you so much for taking some time. Have a wonderful call, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Man, it's a pleasure. And then again, I'll come say hello next time I'm in St. Louis.
All right, very good. That's Francisco X. Rivera. We'd love to have him in studio. I'm a little jealous of Polo and Benji that they got to spend some time with Francisco. So we will definitely take him up on his offer next time we get the opportunity to have him in St. Louis. All right, so that's just about going to do it for the show today. Again, we're done early. We've got the vice presidential debate. That's going to begin coverage at about 7:30, so a little bit more than a minute from now. And then that's expected to get. They have a pregame show. It's the vice presidential pregame show. So we're still talking in sports language. We'll get to that. They can break it all down. Keys to the debate. Maybe they can do that. I don't know. But we'll be back with you coming up tomorrow for a full 2-hour program, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And we're going to continue this Cardinals conversation coming out of the press conference yesterday. Still a lot more things to get into. And there are a lot more answers out there that we would like to have that we still don't have at this point. And we just kind of have to wait on some of those. We'll talk to you again tomorrow for another Sports Open Line here on KMOX.